Your grace, brethren in Christ, in reading the gospel of this morning, someone may wonder, what are the credentials of the first disciples to be selected as preachers and teachers of the universe? What were the academic degree, experience, skills, and training of those simple fishermen? To these questions, we answer that their resume is extremely modest. They were, first, fishermen whose vocational skills are limited to cast the net and to catch the fish in the style of their own time. Second, they were poor, scarcely had anything. They sell what they catch. They could not buy even a new net. They used to mend and repair their nets to be used over and over. Third, they were uneducated, illiterate, unskillful, and unqualified to any other job except fishing. They were considered as part of the low-level society, even despised by the religious groups as the people of the earth. In human terms, no one would hire them today to do any low-paid job or waste his time to educate or train them to do the most simple job. But God Himself has chosen them to do the most difficult job on earth. Among so many doctors of the law and scribes, Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus came down from heaven to choose the illiterate fisherman for the task of divine preaching and the grace of the apostolic rank. Among the noble and the rich, He chose the poor fisherman to travel and do his mission in the universe. Why? God has not chosen them for their external qualification, but for their internal ones. First, for their faith and their obedience to Christ, they followed Him immediately, with no question asked. For though they were in the midst of their work, and you know how time-consuming shore fishing is, when they heard His command, they did not delay or procrastinate, but immediately followed Him. Second, for their good intentions, God looks at the simple and pure heart. God does not choose them for their works and skills, but for their hearts and good intentions. There was no malice or wickedness in them. He sees them not bodily, but spiritually, regarding not their appearance, but their good hearts. Third, for leaving everything behind and giving everything up for Christ's sake. They have left behind their nets, whereas James and John, their vessel. They were ready to trade in their nets and vessels for the perpetual life of the angels. They immediately gave up hope of material advantage that they might seek eternal recompense. Fourth, they renounced earthly desires. They followed Him immediately to lead a life of self-denial. They followed the Savior on hearing God's voice, renouncing their own passions, carrying His cross. Fifth, they left behind their earthly father, that they might have a heavenly father, and hence they were chosen. But to those who put their family interest before God's work, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Therefore, God has chosen them not as apostles, but because they could become apostles. Just as an artist who sees precious stones chooses them not because of what they are, but because of what they can become. Today, the Lord is choosing you as fishermen in this huge metropolitan area, as he chose those fishermen who became apostles. You are called to convert your trade from earthly jobs to heavenly fishing, that you might catch the unbelievers for salvation, like fish from the deep waters of sin. The Lord Himself is saying to you, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." He called you through Jeremiah the prophet. "Behold, I am sending for many fishers, says the Lord, and they will catch them. And I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them." You are called not only fishermen, but also hunters. Fishermen, for in the nets of the gospel preaching, you catch all believers like fish in the world. Hunters, for you catch for salvation by spiritual hunting those people who are wandering in this world as thou in the woods of sin. The Lord took possession of you. He's occupying your mind. He's proclaimed to you week after week by the divine liturgy, by the Bible, and by the icons. You have read the stories of the saints who have died and offered themselves to stoning. You have realized that orthodoxy is not simply an act of human piety. It is the sword of the Spirit that cuts through the minds and spirits. It is the Word of God, which is quick and wonderful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We have great advantages and gifts in this cathedral. We have doctors, lawyers, educators, and businessmen. Many of you have dedicated time, talent, and resources to God's work. But we should ask ourselves, are we really the imitators of the apostles? Are we able to bear the fruits of righteousness and to fish the lost souls in this society? Just 12 fishermen and tax collectors were able to reach the ends of the earth, carrying the gospel in a pagan and hostile society. Here we have over 1,200 families equipped with all kinds of gifts and talents and means, called to carry this apostolic faith to lapsed Christians or non-Christians in a free society. In receiving the sacraments, We know how God anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power, and gave unto you power to tread over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You are clothed with power from on high. In spite of all the great achievements of this community throughout its history, we still need to make the power of God manifest in this society. God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God's grace is sufficient for you, for your strength is made perfect in your weakness. Those illiterate fishermen whom God has chosen put us to shame, put those who consider themselves as wise, educated, to shame. God has made you teachers and preachers of America, so that with the net of God's word, you may catch the people in this delusive society. The apostles gave us a lesson in leaving behind their nets immediately to do the divine job. For no one can own earthly things and completely attain to heavenly things. The kingdom of heaven has no price tag on it. It is worth as much as you have. There are generally three things that each person who comes to Christ should leave behind. First, acts of the flesh. Second, material good things. And third, parents in the flesh. If you do so, you will become disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.